Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Two big issues for the upcoming veto session in June will be the future of a bill legalizing the recreational use of marijuana and the fight over Governor Phil Scott's plan to implement a statewide teachers' health care contract. With us now to discuss both of these issues is retired Middlebury College political science professor Eric Davis. Eric, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Eric, let's start with the teacher health care issue. The governor is insisting on a statewide teachers' health care contract to maximize savings at a time when all these contracts are up for renewal. The Vermont School Boards Association supports this approach. The governor wants to use some of the savings to lower property tax rates across Vermont. But the Vermont NEA, the teachers' union, is strongly opposed to any changes in the local collective bargaining process. Now, within the political circles in Montpelier, this is a huge issue. How do you think it's being viewed out across the state with members of the public?
I'm not sure this issue resonates with the public as much as it does with people in Montpelier or with people who are active in local school board affairs. The governor has presented it so far as he's standing up for taxpayers against the unions, and the Democrats are doing the bidding of the union rather than the bidding of the of Vermonters in general. And I think among the public at large, that's probably an effective argument. Does it translate into legislative votes? That's another question. A test vote on something close to the governor's plan in the House ended up failing on a tie vote. So, you know, the governor has enough support in terms of Republicans and a few Democrats in the House to sustain a veto. What he doesn't have is enough supporters to pass what he wants in both the House and the Senate.
As you mentioned, in that close vote in the House, there were 16 Democratic House members who essentially voted for the governor's plan. And afterwards, Speaker Mitzi Johnson said those members of her caucus view this debate as an effort to lower property tax rates versus an effort to protect the process of collective bargaining. Do you think that's the way a lot of people see it?
I'm not sure. I mean, the union feels very strongly about having district-by-district bargaining, not just on benefits, but on salaries as well. And from their point of view, that's a very rational strategy, because with district-by-district bargaining, there will always be some districts that offer higher salaries or a better benefit mix than others. And that gives the union a target to chase in negotiations in other districts. So they don't want to go to a statewide system that would remove those differences among districts. Whether that's an issue that the public really cares about all that much, I'm not sure. Now, the speaker, interestingly, Mitzi Johnson, tried to float a plan that would result in some property tax reductions, maybe not quite as much as the governor's proposal, but a substantial amount of property tax reduction, while leaving local bargaining in place. What it would have done, however, is set conditions, mandatory conditions, within which the local bargaining had to occur. And the unions rejected that. And what I'm going to be interested in seeing over the next few weeks is whether the speaker tries to float a plan like that again and tries to come up with something that could perhaps pass the House and maybe with some work in the Senate, and how the governor would react, or whether the Democrats just hold fast to their position, because the governor said shortly after the legislature adjourned he didn't want to get into talk about a state government shutdown or anything like that. And in the end, he would sign whatever would pass the legislature. So the Democrats could simply wait him out because he doesn't have the forces to pass his own bill. So I'll be interested to see whether they try it, make a serious attempt at sort of getting closer to his position, or stick basically with where they were at the last week of the session.
That's right, Eric. The governor said he doesn't want the budget bill to be held hostage in these negotiations, so he wants that budget to go into effect on July 1st. That's the beginning of the state's fiscal year. But the same cannot be said for the statewide property tax rate for education bill, known as the YEALD bill, and the failure to implement this bill on time also has some serious consequences. So what happens if there's no agreement?
Well, I suspect there'll be a YEALD bill, too, because, again, towns have to send out their property tax bills over the summer because the first installment in many towns is due sometime between late September and say, November. The YEALD bill may not provide quite as much property tax reduction as the governor wants. Now, again, the amount of property tax reduction is uncertain because there are some districts that are going to reach an agreed settlement on the teacher issue between now and the 1st of July or the 1st of September when tax bills are sent out. And some of those settlements will affect the amount of property tax relief that's available. It also appears to be the case, again, we need to look at a more detailed analysis of the numbers here, that the amount of property tax reduction we're talking about here, most of it will go to the larger property taxpayers, the people who have bigger assessments, either owners of very high-value homes or commercial and industrial non-residential property. The amount of reduction for the typical middle-income household might end up being only $100 or so. Now, that's certainly not an insignificant amount, but there's a question of how much of these, say, $26 million that the governor is talking about on a statewide level actually flows through to the individual tax bill that each homeowner ends up paying.
So when all is said and done, Eric, do you think both sides reach a compromise on this issue during the veto session?
I suspect what will happen is there'll be an agreement before the veto session actually opens, that both Speaker Johnson and Senate President Tim Ash have indicated they're going to reopen negotiations with their members and with the administration shortly after Memorial Day, sometime in the next week or so. So that gives them 3 weeks to work something out before the full legislature comes back.
Eric, another issue that will come up in that June special veto session is a bill that legalizes the recreational use of marijuana. Governor Scott vetoed the bill this week, but he says he would sign it if lawmakers make some changes to the bill to address some of his public safety concerns. What do you make of this?
Well, the letter that Scott sent back to the legislature along with his veto set forth some quite specific objections that he had, which it seemed to me would not require all that much work in the legislature to address. The governor wants stricter penalties for people who provide marijuana to minors, stricter penalties for people who use marijuana in a vehicle where a child is present. And I think the most important one of all is he would like the commission, which the bill sets up to examine moving from simple possession of a few plants to a larger regulation, taxation, sales scheme, to have more members who represent people in state government, particularly agencies concerned with public health and public safety, and to be given more time to do its work, to be given a year to do its work. And even if the governor ends up signing the bill that allows individuals to possess a few plants, that leaves in place the question of, well, where do these individuals get the supply? So it doesn't do anything about the black market, allowing the state to capture any of the revenue from cannabis sales and so forth. Those are the issues that the commission would be tasked with. And if the commission has a year to report, that means it reports in the latter half of 2018, and this whole issue would be back on the legislature's agenda after the next election in the 2019 session.
In the short term, it seems that both House Judiciary Chairwoman Maxine Grad and the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Dick Sears, seem pretty interested in finding a compromise with the governor over this issue. And that's important, isn't it?
Yes, because, again, it seemed to me from the governor's letter that if the Judiciary Committees in both chambers sat down with some of the experts from the administration and staff from the Legislative Council, in a couple of meetings they could probably come up with a revised bill that would satisfy the governor's concern and would most likely pass both houses of the legislature. The vote on the bill in the House was a lot closer than in the Senate. It got, I believe, 79 votes in the House. These changes might pick up a few more votes. So I think if the Judiciary Committees were to revise the bill along the lines suggested in the governor's veto message, it would pass both chambers and then would most likely be signed by the governor.
Now, the wild card in all of this, Eric, might be House Minority Leader Don Turner. He's strongly opposed to the bill, and he says his caucus probably will decide not to suspend rules to allow this bill to come to the floor of the House and win final consideration. So can House Republicans block the passage of this bill?
Well, if they insist on not suspending the rules, they could. I think the issue there becomes how Republicans, particularly Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, approach Turner between now and June 21st? Do they tell him to let the bill go through, let the possession of a few plants become in the statute book, and leave the fight for the bigger issue, which is the legalization taxation plan that would be recommended by the commission after the next election?
It's going to be a lot of activity on both of these issues in the coming weeks. Retired Middlebury College political science professor Eric Davis, many thanks for being on the program today.
My pleasure, Bob.